Good evening, everyone. Tonight, I'll be sharing from the parable of the persistent widow from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'"
Let's pray. God, we come before you tonight, and we ask that your word would sink deep into our hearts. God, we thank you that it is your greatest desire to give justice and to vindicate and to teach us how to prayerfully endure until you return to earth. And God, I pray that you would help us to come in line with your will, with your agenda, that as we pray and as we seek your face, that you would put deeply into our hearts your burden and your desires and your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight we're going to be looking at the parable of the persistent widow. And the parable of the persistent widow is about prayer. In the very first verse, Jesus told his disciples in the story. And parables are not actual stories that actually happen in history, but parables are depictions of stories that Jesus created to try to teach his disciples a spiritual truth that he was wanting them to understand. So he often chose the characters. And in the parable of the persistent widow, there are two characters, two main characters. And the widow may represent those who are in extremely vulnerable positions. And she also may represent a disciple who is facing persecution, or God's elect. God's elect are those who have chosen to follow Jesus. So the widow could also represent that. And the other character in the story is the unjust judge, who represents unrighteousness on the earth. There are a few different kinds of parables in the Bible, about three different kinds. And this parable is called a single direct parable. And what it does is it brings two characters side by side next to each other to show a contrast. And in this parable, two characters will be contrasted against each other to show the vast difference between the two of them. So in the previous chapter, prior to Luke 18 in the story, is Luke 17. And right before Jesus talks about prayer in this parable, he was also preparing his disciples to endure prayerfully in the coming age that was going to come. At this point, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he was reminding his chosen ones that he is not slow in fulfilling his promises, even if there seems to be a delay, that God always has a reason for a delay and he's patient. And the reason he's patient is because he wants to give time for many people to turn to him. And he wants his disciples to pray and watch and be faithful during that process. So the two characters in the story, as I mentioned, are the unjust judge and the widow. So Jesus said, in a city, there was a certain judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to the unrighteous judge, saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." So this widow was having a situation where someone in her life was coming against her. She had an adversary that was giving her a problem that she couldn't handle and she needed help with. So she went to the judge to get help. And she realizes that she couldn't solve the problem on her own. And a widow represents someone who is the most vulnerable in society. And, you know, throughout history, widows were particularly vulnerable without a man in a male-dominated society and needed protection. So she really was powerless. And in this story, Jesus was pointing to her persistence, the way that he set up the story. And Jesus was pointing to the fact that she went back again and again and again. She kept going back because she believed that she could receive justice. And her actions showed that. Her actions revealed that she just didn't give up. So the other character in the story is the unjust judge. And this unjust judge, as Jesus called him, was someone who had a position of authority. But we know that he was not interested in helping her at all. He was probably more interested in helping people who could pay a bribe or compensate, which she couldn't. So we know that this judge, according to Jesus' words, was unrighteous, not God-fearing. He was reluctant to help her, and he did not uphold the law. And all of his intentions for the things that he did were self-motivated. And many times in the Bible, when you see a judge as a character, it often represented God. So we'll see that later in the story. So as this story continues on, after a while, there was a change. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus said, "The widow kept coming to the judge with her plea, and for some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" So eventually he did help her, but it was for his own reasons. He just wanted her to go away and stop bothering him. She was becoming a burden. And this is what he said to himself: "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." So as we mentioned earlier, this parable is deliberately contrasting two things, but it's not contrasting the widow and the judge. It's contrasting God and the unjust judge. In the story, the unjust judge is being contrasted against a holy and righteous God. And this unjust judge had no regard or respect for people at all. But this story highlights and points out, by placing them next to each other, the extreme goodness of God against this extremely opposite ungodly judge. And Jesus shows a similar contrast in another story in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, when Jesus compares an earthly father with a heavenly father. He says of the earthly father, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly father give good gifts to those who ask him?" And earthly fathers have an inbuilt impulse to want to do what's best for their children. And as much as they want to, they're still flawed because of the corruption that was brought into the world by sin, which God is contrasting how much better he is even than an earthly father. The desire to help their children is nothing compared to how God wants to help his children. So in our story tonight, Jesus puts emphasis in this verse on the unjust judge. The Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge says." So we know from reading the story that eventually he does give justice to the widow. But Jesus is pointing out in this parable that the judge will do justice for the widow, despite his lacking both fear of God and any human sympathy at all. He doesn't even care that she had, you know, no one else to turn to in life. And his desire is not to give her justice. He didn't even have any compassion. And despite this bad character, he still decides to give justice to the widow. So what was Jesus trying to tell us? By choosing such an unjust judge as one of the characters in the story, Jesus was telling that even a judge like this can give justice to the widow. And God says, even having such bad character, there will still be justice. And Jesus is saying, God will do the same for his elect, not because of anything they have done, but because they're the ones God selected for salvation. It's not because of what they did that they got chosen and that they were saved. In verse 6 through 8, Jesus said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge is saying. And won't God by all means do justice for his elected ones who cry out to him day and night, and be indulgent towards them as they cry out day and night for justice? I tell you, he'll do justice for them speedily." What Jesus is saying here is that God will vindicate his chosen ones just because that's who he is. He's a just God. He's not doing it because of them or anything they've done. God chooses to vindicate his own, those who choose to follow him. And he's a God who gives justice. Just like in the story, the unjust judge was the total opposite, but there was still justice. So Jesus is pointing out, I will give you justice. And this should motivate us, his disciples, to keep praying, no matter what's happening in our, what we can see with our eyes, to keep praying, because God has a final say. So the first point in this story tonight is that sometimes we feel like this helpless widow, and Jesus is telling us, don't give up. Maybe in your life, you might feel like you're not ever going to get justice in your situation. You're not going to be heard by anyone. No one cares. And maybe when someone's treating you wrongly, it can be very, very discouraging based on what you see and feel and experience. And even sometimes when we decide that we're going to begin to build a prayer life, read our word consistently, it can seem like there's still resistance. Maybe you want to make a difference in your office, or you want to see godly principles operate in your life or in your home, but there's still resistance. And sometimes we might ask, will it really make a difference if I give attention to prayer in my life? If I put aside time to start investing in reading God's word, will there be any change? And sometimes we can slip into thinking that it's just easier for others to set the agenda. Why fight against what everyone else is doing? But Jesus is saying through this parable, don't give up. Pray. It matters. I will be the one to vindicate you. Don't give up praying. And based on what we've heard in this story, why is it important to keep on praying? Okay, the first reason is that we are to pray earnestly for the vindication of our testimony. No matter what we see with our eyes, our testimony matters, how we live. And we need prayer to strengthen us to be able to keep that testimony before God and before others. And though we might not see what we're hoping for, God is saying, you know, don't give up. I'm with you and I'm calling you to pray. And in the book of Luke, he uses the word for faith here means to be persuaded or to come to trust. And this is the process that happens in us when we pray, that we ourselves become persuaded. We come to trust at a different level. And the other definition for trust in the book of Luke is a reliance on another to provide something that we cannot provide for ourselves. It puts us in a place of vulnerability where we have to rely on God because he wants us to do that. And that's what the widow did. She couldn't make anything happen for herself. Her responsibility was to keep praying and not give up. And that's what she did. The second point in the story is that prayer is a correct response to God's character, who he is. And when we pray because we believe that he is just and loving, he cares for us. He is not like the judge in the story at all. He is infinitely righteous. He hears our cries. And he cared deeply for vulnerable people in the Bible, not just them, also his elect. He was moved to action. And he even, when we pray, he encourages us to pray for justice for the vulnerable. That's what he puts in our heart when we pray. So to emphasize that he is so ready to give justice, Jesus asks, or in the story, the character asks these two rhetorical questions. Will not God give justice and be indulgent towards his elect as they cry out day and night? Will he delay long over them? And these two questions show that God is ready and waiting to give justice. That is what is in his heart. And he wants to rid his elect of oppression. He is much more ready to rid us of oppression than this judge was willing to do for the widow. That's what this story means. He wants to give justice to those who cry out to him day and night. You know, he's saying how much more. And Jesus tells a parable to highlight that someone who has no regard for people can give justice. God's heart towards us is so much greater. And then he goes on in verse 8 to say, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. And when he uses the statement, I tell you, it means something. Whenever he uses this in scripture to listen, he wants us to really pay attention to what he's saying. Jesus is putting great emphasis on God's readiness to give justice, just like you who have children want to give justice to your children. It's so much more. He cares for us. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to give your child justice, to stand up for them when they're being treated unfairly, your desire as a parent is to do that. And God wants to do the same thing for us. When we faithfully pray, we are showing that we trust in this character of a just God who wants to give us vindication. And we go to him just like a child goes to a parent. So the second point was prayer is a correct response to God. When we pray, it's an expression of faith to his goodness. And he's never failed. He never will fail. Whatever circumstances you're in right now, God is trustworthy. The third point tonight is, what is persistence in prayer? And one of the main points in this story focuses on the actions of the widow. She persistently prayed while what seemed like a huge delay, without any hope. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." You know, prayer, knocking, is like an intentional thing. You have to purposely knock on a door. Like the story in the Bible where the neighbor knocked over and over with audacity. It is not a passive action. It's perseverance. And it requires a posture of humility rather than giving up. Giving up is not humility, but keep asking shows humility. And, you know, how are we affected when we don't see an answer to our prayer? Do we keep that posture of, I'm not going to give up because God's good? Or do we get affected? I know it's very encouraging when we see our prayers answered, when we see things that we've hoped for change. And it's easier to pray when things are going well. But the reality of life is that sometimes things don't go the way we thought they would. And we might be in a season like that right now, when we don't see changes in ourselves. We've been, you know, wanting to change, or we've told God at least that we want to change, but we're not seeing that. And we're not seeing changes in situations around us. It's just not changing. And when we experience a setback in life, it can make us very emotionally down. And one of our responses can be just to give up on our prayer life and say, I'd rather just do something else that's entertaining. I'm not just going to keep building this prayer altar, setting my time aside. You know, we might think all the wrong thoughts that God doesn't love us. But why is it important to pray and not give up even in the most difficult times when we don't feel like praying and not give in to our discouragement? When we pray, we're not just asking for our will to be done, but we're taking responsible steps to pursue God's will. And Millard Erickson, who's a theologian, he said that prayer has a role in creating in ourselves a right attitude with respect to God's will. And this is very important in our lives as Christians, you know, to realize that Jesus also didn't want to go to the cross, but he did it. It's part of being a Christian. You know, Jesus said that he is the vine that we're to abide in. And when we do what he doesn't want us to do, he cuts off those branches in our lives. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he cuts it off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. And God wants to cut off things in our lives that are not his will. And in the story, the widow's faith was related to God's will. God was wanting her to get, Jesus was showing us to get in line with his will. And in this particular case, it was the second coming of Christ. So as you look back at Luke 17, 22 to 25, Jesus turns to speak directly to his disciples, and he tells them that he's going to be departing from the earth. He tells them that he's going to suffer severely, and he's going to be rejected by this generation. And he says that they're going to long for the day that he returns. But he's going to be asking them to endure in prayer and not to lose heart while they wait, because it could be a delay. And he says, "For as lightning comes from the east, is visible in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." There will be an absence. But Jesus said, you know, people would make fun of him. The rulers, the soldiers, even the thief on the cross rejected him, made fun of him. But Jesus said that his death would be vindicated one day. And now he's telling his disciples to endure in prayer until that time, and not to lose heart. Why did he have to talk to them about losing heart? Because in this parable, the unjust judge represents injustice of persecution on earth that's going to take place prior to the second coming of Christ that Jesus' disciples will have to endure. And, you know, the judge in this story did not fear God. He did not have consideration for people, not even a widow. And Luke was emphasizing that between the first and second coming of Christ, the world is going to be filled with indifference, injustice, and abuse of power. And he wanted his disciples to be prepared to stand and to learn how to stand. And that was going to happen through prayer. Jesus was saying it's necessary to pray because of the injustice they're going to face. And one Bible scholar pointed out when Jesus said this, to pray, he was using the word ought. It's going to be necessary for you to pray. And he said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But all this I have told you, John 16:1, so that you will not fall away. So there is a chance that we will fall away. And Jesus knows this, and he's trying to prevent that from happening. He's trying to warn us now. And Jesus was telling his disciples, there's going to be a need for prayer because they are going to be discouraged. And if they persecuted Jesus, they're definitely going to persecute us because they did not know the Father. Because we, his disciples, are not born of this world. And Jesus commanded that his disciples understood the world's hatred of him. Because the world had such a hatred for him, it's also going to have a hatred for us because Jesus called out sin. He said, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, then they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and hated both me and my Father. So the final point in this story is that Jesus says he will give justice, but the question he asks is, will he find faith in the earth? Jesus said, you know, while the widow repeatedly kept going back, there was a delay. And the unjust judge in the story caused her delay. And Jesus said that God is going to delay, but his reason for delaying is not the same as the unjust judge's reason. Jesus said he will delay because God is patient and he wants people to have a chance to repent before Jesus comes again. God is patiently going to delay so that many people can turn. And he's telling his followers that we must persistently pray through the difficult times that we're going to face. And the question we ask ourselves tonight is, are we ready to begin to accept his will to pray and to build ourselves? Because he talks about this widow as somebody who has good character. And she is portrayed in the story as someone who does not give up in the face of a delay or when people treated her bad. And Jesus said, you know, in light of the bad treatment that you're going to have, there is going to be vindication. And this helped her to keep on praying. And that will also help us to keep praying because Jesus is going to ask us, will he find faith on the earth? And David Mapps, who's also a theologian, said, will Jesus find her kind of faith? The kind of faith that keeps on praying, believing that Jesus will vindicate. And tonight, I just want to close with asking us these questions. Jesus tells his disciples not to lose heart. He was teaching us to have a certainty in our hearts, even in the most difficult moments, and also teaching us to live a righteous life, not for ourselves, watchful, prayerful, living with an expectation that the kingdom is coming. And our prayers should not just be about our will, but demonstrating that we are concerned with God's will and what he wants. And Jesus was teaching his disciples to be prepared to labor with Christ until he returns. And as I was preparing for this message, I was just praying and God was just reminding me of where I would be, where my life would be if it wasn't for him. And if he hadn't come and found me, where would I be? And, you know, if I hadn't received so much help in making decisions that were in line with his will, if I had not let his will take the lead in my life, I would not be in a very good place. And he reminded me of how good he's been. And, you know, sometimes when God's asking us to make a change in our life, whether it's to start taking things more seriously with our Bible reading or prayer life, sometimes it can feel difficult. But when we reflect on, it's not just the easy parts of being a Christian that have been a blessing to us. It's also been the difficult part of picking up our cross and following Jesus. And tonight, you know, many of us, we may feel that we failed God. We haven't been that prayerful person that we know he wants us to be. But, you know, we may have felt it's difficult to follow him. But we might feel, you know, pressure to build other areas of our lives, our career, rather than our time in the word and prayer. But Jesus is saying, you know, he knows what's best for our future. He knows what's coming. And he knows what's going to help us to endure. When he tells us to do something, it's always for our own good, not to punish us. And he's calling us to a deeper place. It's going to be necessary for us to learn how to pray so that we will not fall away. And he's teaching us how to build a prayer altar in our lives. And, you know, every time Jesus told a parable, the way he told the parable, it always had two effects on people, one or the other. Either the person would get in line with Jesus' will that he was trying to teach them, and they would surrender, be broken, and come closer to him. Or the other reaction of people was that they would harden their hearts and they would move further away when they heard what he told them. So tonight, you know, God is speaking to us that it's only through prayer that we're going to be able to become this person who can be in line with God's will. And he said, the good news is that if you abide in me, I also will abide in you. And he wants us to remain in him, and he wants to show us what this means. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, God, that even as you spoke to your disciples, you expected that word that you told them to go deep down inside their hearts. And sometimes, God, we don't let that happen, because we have our own agenda. And we know that you're telling us to get ready for the future, that you know what we need, you know how you want us to live, because you know, you always know what's best for us. We trust that. And God, I pray that tonight we would allow your word, that we wouldn't just switch it off, but we would really ask you. We don't want to harden our hearts to you when we read the Bible. We want to learn to read the Bible and do what it says. And we know that you will help us, God, but I pray that you would help us to open up and talk to each other, to learn, to change, because you do want us to be built up for your will and for what's coming, God. And we just look to you tonight. We just come to you in a posture of humility. May we be that person that keeps coming back and asking again and again and again, not giving up so easily on you. And we just thank you, God, for this time. I just like to invite, just open this time up, just for you to just reflect on where would you be if it wasn't for God, the easy times and the hard times. And it's not just about the good times of following him, it's all the time. And I just like to encourage and invite everyone, anyone who would like to pray for the needs that are laid before us tonight. And I just open up this time to anyone who would like to pray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We want to thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you, Lord, that you remind us of your heart, that you care for us, dear Lord, and that you are a good Father, a righteous judge. Dear Lord, you have spoken to us, Lord, because you understand where we are, Lord. And sometimes your promises are far. We have so much concerns, Lord, in our heart. We are worried, Lord, about ourselves. We are worried about the ones that we love, Lord. We are worried about their salvation. We are worried about our own ability, Lord, to sustain. And sometimes, Lord, Father, the world casts such pressure on us, Lord, we begin to doubt, Lord, whether what we are doing has any significance, Lord, whether we are able to bear any fruit. But dear Lord, we pray that we will cast our eyes on you, that we remember, Lord, that everything that starts small, you will grow, Lord. All we have to do is remain in you and look forward, Lord, to the day where you will come and you will bring light, Lord, to the significance, Lord, of everything that we have done in your name, that you would reward, that you would grant justice, that you will bring favor, Lord, that you would reveal yourself good, holy, just, and kind. So, Lord, we pray that we rest in you, Lord. We pray that we will be reminded, as your scripture says, Lord, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Therefore, dear Lord, everything we do, Lord, in your name is not in vain. So open our hearts, Lord Father, to seek your face. Dear Lord, even as we come before you, let us be mindful of what we can take hold of, Lord. It's you. It's your promises. It's your steadfastness. And that's the kind of faith you're looking for, Lord. That we will take hold of you, dear Lord, of who you are, of what you have done for us in this cross, at the cross. You are able to save. You are able to change the hearts of people. So, Father, we pray that we will press in prayer and take hold of every good word that proceeds from your lips, every promise that comes from you, every assurance that comes from you, that we will take hold, Lord Father, of every blessing, every scripture, Lord, that tells and speaks of your good work, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we pray that we will hold on to you, Lord, as we ask. We will hold on to your word as we ask. So, Lord, we pray, even now, move our hearts to that place. You will come again. You will set things right. The fullness of your glory will be seen. And you will save, Lord, those who come to you. You will hear our prayers and save those, Lord, we are praying for. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for such grace, for such goodness. We pray that we'll put our trust, our hope, Lord, in you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness. We know, Lord, that you have come, you have revealed your glory, and you're moving throughout this world, Lord Father. You are moving among your people. You are saving, you are transforming things, and you will glorify your name. And dear Lord, even as we look around our nation, in fact, all the nations in the world, we see a lot of unjust people in power, Lord. And we pray, Lord Father, that whatever the climate, the political climate is, we will not give in, we will not give up, that together all the churches in every nation will come before you, trusting you for deliverance, knowing, Lord, that nothing can stop me from accomplishing your purpose. And dear Lord, I just want to pray for every person, Lord, in our church. Dear Lord, wherever they are, at their workplace, their schools, I believe, Lord, you have given them a dream, that you have shown them things, Lord, that they can do, all of us can do. And sometimes, Lord, we all feel like that we are fighting against a lot of unjust people in power, dear Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, strengthen our hearts, Lord, that we will hold on to that vision, to that dream that you have given us, that we will believe, Lord, that you have called us to shine, to be the salt, to be the light. And in your name, we will make a difference. The very small things that we do, you will, Lord, Father, use it for your glory and goodness. So, Lord, stir those dreams, Lord. Let us revisit, Lord, what you have spoken into our hearts. Let us, Lord, again think, Lord, and remember the many promises you have given us and how you have steadfastly, Lord, paved the way for us to see, Lord, these things come into place. Let us look to you for your glory, Lord, Father. You will answer, Lord. You will not close the door before us. You who have called us are faithful. So let us capture, Lord, take hold of the vision, Lord, that you've given each one of us. In this church, dear Lord, we thank you. We want to thank you that we're gathered. We pray that you continue to bless every person that is here, Lord. Keep us in your love. Sustain us throughout this week, Lord, Father. Also, we pray, Lord, even as everything is opening up, that you would guide us, Lord, and guide this nation, its leadership, Lord, into doing things well, that you would be with the leadership of the schools, of the kindergartens, of the offices, Lord, Father, that all of us will have wisdom, Lord, to navigate this season, Lord, of this pandemic, that we will also listen to your voice, Lord, as what we can do and how we need to approach it. Dear Lord, help us, Lord, Father, for we need your light, your wisdom in all of this. We thank you, Father. May your blessings be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.